Thank you very much, and it's good to be with you again, and you're very posh people here. It's my daughter's 7th birthday, and we're in McDonald's. You've got chandeliers in McDonald's here. Chandeliers in McDonald's. You've got fancy wood in McDonald's. Ours are not like that. So you've got a lovely McDonald's and a lovely food as well. And I took the Texas bug chicken thing and I warmed up. I think it looked like the Mappy Texas. I don't know if somebody did a bite before me, but it looked like the map of Texas. But thank you very much for your fellowship. I am really enjoying my stay. And I've had a few questions after last night. And the main question was, what did you say? And the biggest question was, when I spoke about a church that had split, I says it wasn't over Arminian or Calvinism, it was over a lady who baked some scones, and her scones, nobody would eat them. So then she went in a huff, and it caused a problem in the church, and the church split. Everybody okay with that? Okay, that's a good sign. Well, it is good to come and share with you. And we're going to be speaking tonight about people who gave their lives for the God that you love and the God that you serve. But before we go any further, let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer and ask for God's help. Our Father, as we come before you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you, Heavenly Father, that we have been adopted into the family of God. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that tonight that we believe that the scales from our eyes have been taken off, that our ears have been opened, and our heart has been opened. And we thank you tonight that we can say that we are the children of the Lord. But Father, as we come before you this evening, we pray even through our talk tonight, help us to behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. We pray for your help, Lord. We do pray for understanding. We pray for wisdom and insight. Father, my words are only words. But unless you come, unless you speak, nothing will be accomplished. So Father, we pray through the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name, that you would speak to us tonight. That Lord, tonight, that you would have dealings with us. That Father, this would be a great night, because it would be a night where we're met with the risen King. Exalt your Son in our midst. Glorify Jesus, Father. And Father, may we know him walking amongst us tonight, touching our hearts and helping us to live. Not only live in this world, but live as the children of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Somebody once says, only one life, it will soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, and it will soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last. And that is so true. This life is not a dress rehearsal. You have only one life, and only what you do for Christ will last. Everything else will get burnt up in the fire. And that's why it's important in our life. We invest in eternity. We invest in the things of God. That we give our life over to the ways and the workings and the things that glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight, we're speaking about ordinary people. Just ordinary people like you and like me. But they were willing to give their life. They were willing to surrender their life to Christ rather than to please man. They were willing to give their life over even though it meant death, even though they could have avoided it, but they were willing to give their life over. Only one life, and it will soon be passed, and only what is done for Christ will last. Think of Jenny in that day, in July 23rd in 1637. Remember in St. Giles, we were talking about it last night, when the Common Book of Prayer was used. Only a young girl. And what did she do? She picked up her stool and she threw it at the preacher, or the man from the Church of England, threw it at him, and says, "Don't say that mass in my ear. Don't let me hear that popery stuff that you're saying out of that book." And because of that, it caused a real stirring, because the people of God never wanted anything to do with this. Remember, we're saying the king wanted to be the head of the church. He wanted the people to use this Common Book of Prayer. And the people in Scotland, the believer, says no. And then in February 1638, the Scottish Covenant was signed in Greyfriars. And that's why they're called the Covenanters, because they signed this covenant. And even some of them signed it with their own blood. Now what happened is the king banned them from preaching. They were kicked out of their church, pulled out of their church, rejected from their church. And it was only the government appointed preachers that was allowed to preach, the curates. They were the only ones that was allowed to preach unless you gave in to the king and went along with what he said. But the Scottish Covenanters, they says no. They went down to the king. They wanted to go and preach the word of God. So they would get into the fields and they would have their own meetings in the fields. And if you get caught even going to one of the meetings, the sentence of death was upon your life. And we'll read it and hear about some of the people that were killed because of this. A man called Richard Cameron, a godly man, said, who was one of the Covenanters, said that the curates were not Christ's ministers, but the king's. The curates were not Christ's ministers, but the king's. The curates were not Christ's ministers, but the king's. And I stop and I think about that. Because how many ministers, they're not the king's, but they're congregations. They say what the congregation wants to hear, rather than preaching what Christ has told us to tell them. They would rather tickle their ears than tell them the truth. And here it is in this time as well. The preachers were the king's puppets. And we're not to be people's puppets, but we're to be preachers of truth and of righteousness, and to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. The covenanters would rather die than bend a knee to the king. And the reason being, because they'd bend the knee to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They were wanted to bend the knee to him and not bend the knee to man. So the king sent a warning to the Scottish people. He killed, murdered three people. Guthrie, a man of the church, the Duke of Argyll, a nobility man, and Johnston, a lawyer. And the reason he killed these three people is because he tried to show the people that it doesn't matter what field you're in, I can still get to you. I would like to speak to you tonight about some of the people who were killed for their faith, willing to lay their life upon the altar of God, willing to be martyred, willing to give their life over for the sake of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. A man called James Guthrie. Cromwell said about this man, the short man who would not bow. The short man who would not bow. What a testimony. The short man that would not bow. Great testimony. And that's what Cromwell says about this man. A friend said to Guthrie, because he's a man of the covenant, a man who would not bow to the king, and a friend says to him, bend and let the waves go over you. Bend and let the waves go over you. In other words, his friend was saying, just get out of the way, stay away from it all, and then you won't be killed, nothing will happen to you. And Guthrie turned round and says to him, there is no bending in the cause of Christ. There is no bending in the cause of Christ. Is that not the heart that we need to see in our churches today?
Right.
There is no bending in the cause of Christ. How many people have sold their soul to the devil? How many people have just compromised in the truth? I know of a minister who was in a church, and his leader is a good evangelical man, and the leader says, don't worry, we'll not belong in making them into the man that we want them to be. Don't worry, we won't belong in making them into the man that we want him to be. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we don't want to be the person that the people round about us want us to be. We want to be what God wants us to be. That's what we need to be. The men and women of God. People who love the Lord with all our heart. People who love the Lord with all our soul. People who are willing to stand up for the glory of the Lord. James Guthrie, a man who is known as a man who would not bend. His friend says to him, just bend and let the waves go over you. He says, there is no bending in the cause of Christ. On his deathbed, he says, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in him. He was hanged in Edinburgh, and his head was put in a spike in Edinburgh, and his last words were, This covenant shall yet be Scotland's revival. The covenant shall yet be Scotland's reviving. I'd like to speak about another man who was willing to give his life. This is a man called Hugh McHale. This man was a young minister, a young preacher, and he was doomed when he preached his sermon in St. Giles in Edinburgh. And the reason why he was doomed, because he spoke about a Pharaoh on the throne, a Haman in the state, and a Judas in the church. A Pharaoh on the throne, a Haman in the state, and a Judas in the church. And this was the sentence of death upon his life. They tortured him first, and it was the boot. And the boot torture was, it was a big metal boot that they put in your foot. And when they put this big metal boot in your foot, then they would get spikes to go down into it, not to get into your skin, but to crush your skin in, so that your bones would be like powder. And that's what they done, they crushed his foot, so like pulp. Just crushed it all in. And he wouldn't give in. He wouldn't bow. And his foot was all smashed up. And know what it says? Only a few days till I see Jesus. Only a few days till I see Jesus. And as he was going up towards the scaffolding, when I speak about the scaffolding, that was him heading towards to be hung. The scaffolding's where the big plank and everything was organised for him to hang on. And as he's walking towards the scaffolding, he says, I go to my Father's house, each step takes me nearer. I go to my Father's house, each step takes me nearer. Is that not amazing? Is that not tremendous? Here was a man, he first of all put the the metal boot on him and put the spikes in and crushed his foot altogether. Crushed it altogether. Think of the pain and the agony. And then after that, he still would not bend the knee to the king. And then, as he was walking towards to be hung there, he says, "I go to my father's house. Every step takes me nearer to heaven." And you know something? When they hung him, he was a frail man, a thin man. And when the rope was pulled at his neck, he never died. He was still hanging there, still alive. And his cousin ran over and grabbed his legs and pulled him down so that he would die. That was for Christ. Willing to give his life over for Christ. King David says, "I will not give unto the Lord a sacrifice that costs me nothing. I will not give unto the Lord a sacrifice that costs me nothing." Here are men and women who are willing to sacrifice their life for Christ. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, do we live for the Lord? Can we say it's well with our soul? We maybe not have someone wanted to come in and kill us, but in our workplace, do we witness for the Lord? Amongst our community, amongst our neighbours, do we witness for the Lord? Do we stand up for Him? Do we exalt the Lord? There was a man called John Brown, and John Brown was a godly peasant farmer. A godly peasant farmer. And they say he would have been a preacher, but he had a stutter, and it hindered him from being a preacher. Pedin the prophet, a man we'll be speaking about later, said about John Brown, "The greatest Christian I ever spoke to." The greatest Christian I ever spoke to. John Brown used to teach the young men round about him, take him into his wee humble home and share with them the word of God and share with them Bible studies. And even some of the young men ended up being martyred later on. When John Brown was getting married, it was Pedin the prophet who married him and his wife at the service. Pedin came away with these words. He says to his wife, "You have got a good man, but you won't have him long. Keep the shroud ready, for you will need it on a very cruel day." You have got a good man, but you won't have him long. Keep a shroud ready, for you will need it one cruel day. And what he was meaning by that is, it won't be long till he's dead. Keep the shawl for wrapping up the dead in, because one day he's going to die. There was a man called, an evil man called Cleaverhouse, and he got a hold of John Brown. And after trying to get him to turn, and obviously being cruel to him, John Brown would tell him nothing. And Cleaverhouse says to him, "Go to your prayers, for you're about to die. Go to your prayers, for you're about to die." And John Brown got down on his knees and he prayed. And then he went over and kissed his wife. And then he says, "I have been ready to die for many a year. I have been ready to die for many a year." And then in front of his wife, in front of his children, Cleaverhouse turned around and shot John Brown. And as his wife, as John Brown was lying there with just his guts all over the place and just killed with this evil man, this evil man turns around to his wife and says, "What do you think of your husband now? What do you think of your husband now?" And she turned around and says to him, "I always thought well of him, and never more than now. I always thought well of him, and never more than now." Brothers and sisters in Christ, the Spirit of God that was in them is the Spirit of God that is in you. The Spirit of God that was in them is the Spirit of God that is in you. Are we taking a stand for Christ? Are we compromisers? Do we compromise in our faith? Do we live for the Lord? Do stand up for Him? Do we testify to the glory of the Lord? He saved you. He's redeemed you with His precious blood. He gave His life on the cross for you. Do we love Him? Do we tell others about Him? Alexander Peden, known as Sandy Peden, Sandy the Prophet, our poor old Sandy. And the king's men were out chasing after Sandy. And Sandy was an amazing man, he's worth reading about. And he prayed, "Lord, cast your cloak over poor old Sandy. Lord, cast your cloak over poor old Sandy." And what it was, he was up in amongst the hills. And he asked God to bring down the mist so that the men who were after him, who wanted to kill him, could not see him. And the mist came down and covered poor old Sandy. God answered his prayer and he was protected. That was, see the photographs up the back. Sandy Peden used to wear a mask so that people wouldn't know who he was, because there was a bounty upon his head. If you caught him, and you would get money for him, so he used to wear this mask and like a wig so that people wouldn't know who he was. But unfortunately, because he had to live in the caves of Scotland in the winter weather, it affected his health and he eventually died. But a man who was willing to live for the glory of God. There's also a man called Donald Cargill, and he says, "If preaching doesn't come from my heart, it won't reach the heart of others. If preaching doesn't come from my heart, it won't reach the heart of others." And as he was going up to the scaffolding, ready to be martyred for Christ, he says, "The Lord knows I go up this ladder with less fear than I ever intended. The Lord knows I go up this ladder with less fear than ever I entered a pulpit to preach." In other words, he feared more opening up the Word of God and preaching the Word of God than he did walking up to his death. He feared more handling the Word of God than he did even going up the scaffolding to his death. Oh, that we had men and women like that today, who loved the Word of God so well, that when they looked at the Word of God, they treated it with precious, precious, precious value. A man called Richard Cameron, he was known as the Lion of the Covenant. He was at a friend's farm, and when they got up in the morning and over, he washed his face and his hands, and this is what he said. He says, This is their last washing and must be clean, for many shall see them. This is their last washing and must be clean, for many would see them." That's a very strange statement. But later on that day, he was in the battlefield in Ayr's Moss, and he was killed. And they cut off his hands, and they cut off his head, and they took them to Edinburgh for the bounty. But while he was in the battlefield, before he was killed, this is what he prayed: "Lord, spare the green and take the ripe. Lord, spare the green and take the ripe." And he shouted to his brother, "Well, come, let us fight, for this is the day that I have longed for, to die fighting the Lord's enemies. Today we shall get a crown." And here was this man. God obviously spoke to him. He says, "I must wash my hands, my face well." He says, "Because the day many people are going to see them." And they cut off his hands, they cut off his head, and they took them to Edinburgh. And his head was taken through the streets of Edinburgh. Then Richard Cameron's dad, who was a covenanter as well, was in the prison in Edinburgh. And what they'd done is, they got his son's head, Richard Cameron's head, and they threw it into the prison. Can you imagine the father sitting there in the prison, and his son's head rolled in to the prison, and asked him, "Do you know whose head that is?" And this godly man turned around and said, "Good is the will of the Lord. Good is the will of the Lord, who cannot wrong me or mine. Good is the will of the Lord, who cannot wrong me or mine, willing to surrender even his son to the Lord. There's a man called James Renwick. His mother came in to visit him in prison. And this was an amazing statement. When the sentence of death was upon him, his mother came in to see him. And his mother asked him, "How are you doing?" And this is what he said: "Since my trial, I cannot pray. Since my trial, I cannot pray." And his mother started crying and was upset. And then he finished his sentence. And do you know what he says? "I am too full of praise and joy of the Lord." What he says is, since the trial, I cannot pray. And the reason he can't pray is because he's full of the joy and praise in the Lord. Because he knew he was going to be with the Lord. And as he was walking towards the scaffolding, he says, "Would you like a minister? One of the compromising ministers?" And this is what he says: "No, if I followed their advice, I would not be here to witness today. No, if I followed their advice, I would not be here witnessing today." And as he's walking up towards the scaffolding, someone shouts, "Honour the King!" And then he would die. And James Renwick says, "No," said Renwick, "I am here to testify against you and your ilk. I will speak no more with you, as I am soon to appear before the King of Kings. I am soon to appear before the King of Kings." These are ordinary people. Ordinary people. But with an extraordinary God. And that's your God. That's my God. And God can help us to stand up for Him. No one of the problems in the Christian church today. We suffer from spiritual lockjaw. We suffer from spiritual lockjaw. We'll talk about everything under the sun. But when it comes to talking about Jesus, we go weak at the knees. What we need is a Holy Ghost boldness and spiritual backbone and guts to stand up and tell people about Jesus. They're not rejecting you, they're rejecting Him. But God has called us to be faithful to the truth and to witness. And as we finish, I'd like to tell you about the two Margarets in 1685. One Margaret was a widow, she was 70 years of age. And then Margaret Wilson, who was a farmer's daughter, who was only 18 years of age. And they were charged for rebellion. And you know what the problem was? They were at an open air service where a Covenanter was preaching. One of the godly, illegal preachers. And they were found at this meeting. And they were sentenced to death, to drown in the Solway. That was their sentence, because they were at a meeting. Because they were wanting to go to a meeting to hear the gospel, to hear the truth. And they were going to be drowned. When the tide was out, they put two stakes in, one far out and then one closer in. They put the far out stake, the 70-year-old Margaret, the widow, in that one. And the younger one was in the one that was closest to the land. And the reason they'd done that, they thought when young Margaret saw the old Margaret drowning, she'd have recanted, she'd have turned and asked for forgiveness. But while the old Margaret was drowning, they turned round to the young Margaret and they says, "What do you think? Look, what do you think? Look at her struggling." And young Margaret says, "I think I see Christ struggling in her, for he sends none of, to suffer in their own strength. I think I see Christ struggling in her, for he sends none to suffer in their own strength." Here was a lady, 70 years of age, willing to be drowned for her faith. The young girl, 18 years of age, when she was drowning, somebody thought she'd said something, and the crowd were saying, "Look, she's recanting, she's saying, 'God bless the King, God save the King.'" And somebody seen went up and lifted up her head and says, "What did you say? Did you say 'God save the King'?" She says, "If God wants to save the King, he will." An 18-year-old girl. If God wants to save the king, he will. Then she came away with, "Leave me alone, for I am one of God's children. Leave me alone, for I am one of God's children." An 18-year-old girl. "Leave me alone, I'm one of God's children." And I'd like to tell you a twist in the tale there. The two of them drowned, and you can go to the actual martyr's stone where it is. There was a man in the crowd who shouted, "Drink up! Drink up!" And she was drowning. He was being sarcastic. "Touched not the Lord's anointed. Drink up! Drink up!" And you know what happened to that man? He came away with a rare illness that he could not quench his thirst. And he kept on drinking water, and he died with it. Because this illness, I don't know what it's called, that he could not quench his thirst. And he shouted to the child of God, "Drink up, drink up." And he died with an illness. And I see that with a smile on my face. He died with an illness that he couldn't quench his thirst. Ordinary people who served the amazing God. And why? Because they did not want to deny the name of Christ. Brothers and sisters in Christ, there are many churches today and they're denying the gospel. They're denying the truth. And we need to be men and women who are willing to stand up. Willing to stand up for truth and for righteousness and for the sake of the gospel. Only one life, and it will soon be passed. And only what's done for Christ will last. I would like to finish by saying, do you love the Lord? Do you love him? Do you love him? Your life will reveal whether you love him. Your life will let people know whether you love the Lord or not. A mouth can say anything, but your life does the talking. A mouth can say anything, but your life does the talking. Can people see that Christ has touched your life? Can they see that you're converted? Somebody once says, preach the gospel, and if you need to, use words. Does your life preach the gospel? Do you love him? Do you live for him? And as we finish, is there a longing in your heart? A longing in your heart for the glory of God? For God's glory in Texas. Because I'm sure Texas is just like Scotland. We need a visit of God. We need God to come. You know how it's going to happen? It's going to happen through you. It's going to happen through me. When we say, "Here am I, Lord. Send me." Ordinary people. But an extraordinary God. And that's your God. And that's my God. What are you doing with your life? Father, as we come before you in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have saved us with the precious blood of Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, that we're not saved with corruptible things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have redeemed us. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we have been sealed with the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord God, that you chose us even before the foundation of the world. And Lord, as we come before you, help us to invest our life in eternal things. Father, help us not to get caught up with the rat race of life, but help us to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are willing to use each one of us. And we pray as we look into your history, Lord, the way that you dealt with people, we pray, Heavenly Father, that you be pleased to use us in these days, because we're willing to stand up and not compromise, no matter how loud the world shouts at us, but we're willing to stand up for your truth, to proclaim your message. In Jesus' name, amen.